لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله إن شاء الله after the remaining dua the lessons of hadith will take place from Riyadh al-Salihin with the request to participate إن شاء الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم انت السلام منك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد اذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمه انك انت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قره اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الاحياء منهم والاموات انك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما اخرنا وما اسررنا وما اعلنا انت المقدم وانت المؤخر لا اله الا انت اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق واعملنا من الرياء والسنتنا من الكذب واعيننا من الخيانه فإنك تعلم خائنة العيون وما تخفي الصدور اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وبطاعتك عن معصيتك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين إن شاء الله we'll have a very brief lesson of hadith taking place. Brothers requested to participate, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin, amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, last week we made a start on this chapter, the chapter in which Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi will be bringing those ahadith which discuss the fact that Allah Ta'ala has made it haram upon us and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made it a great sin, a kabira guna, a major sin, to to disobey our parents, and to break family ties. So this is the next chapter that Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brings. Like I mentioned, he initially brings a chapter talking about the importance of fulfilling our responsibilities, our rights, looking after our parents, similarly looking after our family members, fulfilling their rights. And then to further emphasize this point, he brings another chapter in which he just mentions those ahadith in which in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that this is a kabira guna, a major sin. Remember, in the ahadith we see mention of saghira guna and kabira guna, major sins and minor sins. What's the difference between a major sin and what's the difference between a minor sin? The ulama have discussed this. Okay, what is a kabira guna? What is a saghira guna? And there's a lot of difference of opinion. We know that there is something called a kabira sin, a major sin, and something which is known as a saghira sin, a minor sin, because of the fact that in the hadith the Prophet ﷺ many times has said, this sin is minal kabair, from the major sins. So we know that if he is saying something is from the major sins, that means there must be something which is from the minor sins. And similarly, at times Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that whoever performs the fard salah, then between one salah to the next salah, any sin that they perform, any sin that they do is forgiven. Similarly, whoever does wudu and leaves their home and walks to the masjid, their sins are forgiven. Whoever fasts on the day of Arafah, their sins are forgiven. Whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan, man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddam min dhanbi. Whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan with iman and hoping in reward from Allah Ta'ala, his sins are forgiven. وَمَنْ قَامَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمُ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Whoever stands in Taraweeh Salah with iman and with the intention of reward, Allah Ta'ala forgives all their past sins. So we know that there are certain a'mal, actions a person does, through which Allah Ta'ala forgives their sins. But the ulama have clarified every time that this is regarding saghira guna, minor sin. Because major sin cannot be forgiven without tawbah. A person has to do tawbah. A person has to have regret. A person has to have remorse. So again, what is a kabira guna? What is a saghira guna? Some ulama have mentioned that a kabira guna is something which we find a warning from Allah Ta'ala about it. A severe warning from Allah, mentioned that Allah Ta'ala will send la'nat upon that action. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done dua for la'nat upon that action. Similarly, in the Quran, a severe punishment is mentioned about the action. This is a kabira guna. Some ulama have also mentioned that, look, even something which is a saghira guna, if it is done multiple times and if there is no regret, if there is no remorse, then this also becomes a kabira guna. Other ulama have mentioned that even a kabira guna, something which is a kabira sin, a major sin, if you do it with a lot of guilt, and if you do it with a lot of remorse, and when you're doing it, you know that this is a bad thing and you hate it, but you do it, this is still a saghira guna. But any guna that you do, whether it's the smallest sin, if you do it without any guilt, without any remorse, you don't care, you've made a habit of it, a bad habit, and you do it, even if it's a small guna, this actually becomes a kabira guna. Any guna mixed with guilt, mixed with regret, mixed with remorse is saghira. And any guna without guilt, without remorse, without any fear of Allah, this is kabira straight away. Because you have no, you know, you're not even focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't even care about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So this is what they mentioned. I mentioned these few points because in this chapter, Imam Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's, those ahadith will be brought in which the word kabira is mentioned. So we need to differentiate what is kabira, what is saghira. How many kabira guna are there? The ulama have differed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in some hadith that there are three kabira gunas. They will come later. Three kabira gunas. But the ulama have said there's not only three kabira gunas. Some have said there are 70 kabira gunas. There are some great imams have written books on just the kabair, the major sins. They mentioned 73. Some have mentioned a list up to 700 kabira gunas. But why does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention that these three are the kabira? Again, it depends on the people he is talking to. The same way when someone would come, Ya Rasulullah, Ayyul A'mali Ahabbu ilallah, O Messenger of Allah, which of the actions are the most beloved to Allah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give everybody separate answers. He would look at the person and he would look at the person's weakness. Okay, this person, he is not too good to his parents. He does not respect his parents. He is not kind and dutiful to his parents. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would mention to him, Birrul Walidain. That being good to your parents is the best action in the sight of Allah. Because this is what this person needs. Another person he'd mention, As-salatu ala waqtiha. Performing your namaz at its right time. Performing salah at its correct time. This is the best of deeds to Allah because that's that person's weakness. So that's why the ulama mentioned when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that these actions are the kabira gunas, it's because he's talking to the people in front of him, and he's addressing them according to their needs. Sometimes there are some actions which are the worst, which we're going to mention inshallah. So the first hadith inshallah we'll start with today is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Nufay bin Harith radiallahu anhu, who mentions قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر ثلاثا. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu irshad farmate ke Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam irshad farmaya, kya main tumhe sabse bure, sabse badtar kabira gunahon ke bare mein na batlaun? Should I not inform you of the three most major sins, the three worst sins? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking the sahaba, should I not inform you of the three most major sins? قلنا بلا يا رسول الله. Humne farmaya ke zarur ya Rasulullah, hame zarur batla dijiyega. We mentioned ya Rasulullah, please do inform us. قال الإشراك بالله. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, number one, the most worst sin in the sight of Allah Taala is Allah Taala ke saath sharik tehrana, to do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa taala. The second one, وعقوق الوالدين, والدين ki nafarmani karna, to be disobedient to your parents, this is the second most major sin. وكان متكئا فجلس. اور حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کسی چیز کے ساتھ مطلب ٹیک لگا کے بیٹھے ہوئے تھے تو پھر سیدھے ہو کے بیٹھ کے. He mentioned these first two sins, and while he was mentioning them, he was leaning against something, and then all of a sudden he sits up. فقال الا وقول الزور. And then the final sin he mentions, that beware جھوٹے قسم, جھوٹے گواہ دینے سے. جھوٹا گواہ دینا یہ بھی ایک کبیرہ گناہوں میں سے, سب سے بدتر کبیرہ گناہوں میں سے یہ ایک ہے کہ جھوٹا گواہ دینا, انسان جھوٹا گواہ دے. That a person gives a false witness, false testimony. وَشَهَادَةُ الزُّورِ. And then he mentions this again, جھوٹا گواہ دینا, false testimony. فَمَا زَالَ يُكَرِّرُهَا حَتَّى قُلْنَا لَيْتَهُ سَكَتْ. حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے اس کو بار بار دہرایا, جھوٹا گواہ دینا, جھوٹا گواہ دینا, جھوٹا گواہ دینا, یہ کبیرہ گناہوں میں سے ایک بدتر کبیرہ گناہ ہے. حتیٰ کہ ہم نے یہ ذہن کے اندر ہم نے یہ گمان کیا, ہم نے یہ آرزو رکھا کہ کاش حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم چپ ہو جائے, کاش حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اس کو بار بار نہ دہرائے. Because Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam was repeating this so many times, to give a false witness, to give a false witness, to give a false witness. This is also from the most major sins. So anyway, in this hadith, three major sins are mentioned. And Huzur sallallahu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is specifically saying that these three are from the most, akbarul kabair. From the kabair, from the major sins, these three are the worst. What's the first one? To do shirk with Allah Ta'ala. This is everybody understands. وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا. You know, Allah Ta'ala mentioned so many times in the Quran, whoever does shirk with Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Allah Ta'ala does not forgive shirk. As soon as a person commits shirk, even, you know, many times Muslims, we can fall into this. So it's very important to know what is shirk. Shirk can happen in your aqeedah, in your belief. Shirk can happen in your a'mal, in a person's a'mal. Isliye ye jo fifth kalima hai na, hum bachon ko sikhate hain, we teach them the fifth kalima. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'an. Sabko maloom hai na fifth kalima. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'an wa ana a'lamu bihi wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu bihi. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness from committing shirk with you knowingly and unknowingly. Jaan boojh kar aur غلطی سے, اگر میرے طرف سے شرک ہو جائے, چونکہ شرک ہو سکتا ہے. That's why علماء explain, the shirk is two types. One is shirk in اعتقاد, کہ انسان, a person believes that Allah سبحانہ وتعالی کے ساتھ نعوذ باللہ کوئی اور معبود ہے, یا اسی طرح انسان خیال رکھتا ہے کہ maybe there is no other God with Allah, but somebody else has a certain quality which is like Allah's. Even to believe کہ کسی ایک انسان میں یا کسی اور چیز کے اندر اللہ تعالی جیسے ایک صفت ہے, یہ بھی شرک ہے. Allah Ta'ala ki sifat jo hai, kisi, nobody else has these qualities that Allah Ta'ala has. This is shirk. Straight away, to believe that anything is like Allah Ta'ala. In His qualities, in His names, in His attributes, we believe that laysa ka mithlihi shay'un. Nothing is like Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's qualities, Allah Ta'ala's attributes, you know, the way Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is, nobody can compare with that. They become shirk straight away. This is shirk in i'tiqad, in beliefs. And then there's shirk in a'mal. How can shirk happen in a'mal? When a person does an amal, koi ek aisa amal karta hai dusron ko dikhlane ke liye. That I do an amal to show off to other people. I'm standing in salah, so people look at me and say, ke ye insan jo hai bahut nek hai, that this person is very pious. Or I'm reciting Quran so that people say, ke uski jo gale ki awaaz hai bahut khoobsurat hai. So my recitation becomes Allah Ta'ala ke liye nahi, not for Allah Ta'ala, but for somebody else. This is also shirk. This is shirk. And what does shirk do? Shirk takes you out of the fold of Islam. That's why the ulama mentioned that we need to constantly be aware of this. Shirk is a silent killer, a deadly killer, especially this shirk. Shirk akhfa, they call it, the lesser shirk, which is also known as riya, diklawa, you know, to show off to other people. Anyway, in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, the worst of sins in the sight of Allah ta'ala is shirk. You know, associating partners with Allah ta'ala, doing an act of worship for anybody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kisi aur ke liye Allah ta'ala ke siwa, kisi aur Allah ta'ala ke alawa, kisi aur ke liye ibadat karna, ye bhi shirk ho jata hai. And then the second one is uququl walidain. And this is the reason why Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is brought in this chapter. Disobedience to parents. Uquq ka ma'na hai Urdu mein nafarmani karna. To disobey. That when your parents tell you to do something, you don't listen to them. The opposite of uquq is ita'at, to obey. Like we obey Allah Ta'ala, we obey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To not obey your parents is uquq, to disobey. That's why the ulama have said, look, whatever your parents tell you, if it is ja'iz and halal, you have to do it. You have to do it. And that's why in the last chapter, some ahadith came where the sahaba is saying, Ya Rasulullah, one tabi'in, he goes to a sahabi and he says, my mother is telling me to divorce my wife and I love my wife. And the tabi'i Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, straight away he says, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, your parents are the middle door of Jannah. If you want, you can keep this door safe, meaning divorce your wife, make your mother happy. If you want, you can destroy this door by not listening to your mother. Meaning even in ja'iz things, permissible things, to listen to our parents is such a, you know, such an important thing. That's why many hadith we see, sahabi would want to go in jihad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you asked your parents? Are your parents happy that you're going in jihad? He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, he's not. Well, then go and serve your parents. Go and make your parents happy. One sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, I left my parents crying. I want to go in jihad. My parents don't want me to go. Mera bachcha jihad mein chala jayega, uski badan pe kuch nuksan hoga, something will happen to him, he'll get harmed. He said, I left my parents crying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go and make them laugh the way you have left them crying. Go and change that state of theirs. Go and make them happy, make them laugh, make them smile. It's so important that our parents are happy. So this is the second most major of all sins, to disobey our parents, to not listen to what our parents have to say. And finally, Rasulullah, this final point is also very important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leaning against something and he mentions the first two major sins. And then for the third one, he sits up. So the sahaba, they would watch the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like a hawk. Every small action he did. So the sahabis picked this up. Okay, Rasulullah sat up straight, meaning he's about to tell us something very important. And then what he tells us is, beware of giving false witnesses, false testimonies. It happens all the time, all the time. Someone wants to bring someone over from another country, and they say, this is my relative this way, this is my son, this is my daughter, this is my other. False testimony. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is a major, one of the most major sins. This is one big example that we can all apply to. But there are so many other cases. You hear of it on a daily basis. People think it's a light thing. I'll just go to court and I'll just put my hand on the Quran and I'll just say it because, you know, I need to save my own self. The Bengalis say, Zanba sana faroz. Right? I need to save myself. This is what they say, that it's most important to save myself, doesn't matter if I lie. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying here that giving a false testimony is the most major of sins. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is repeating himself again and again, again and again, to the extent that the sahabi are saying that we wished that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would become quiet out of fear that, you know, because obviously this can happen at times, out of fear that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not become quiet, what if Allah ta'ala's adab comes in now upon people who are doing this practice? So we have to be very careful. Zood is a lie. And a false testimony is when a person has to give a statement. In Islam, this statement is always required, whether it's in terms of moon sighting, whether it's in terms of many other things, that we give a testimony. Okay, this is the month of Ramadan has come in by looking at the moon. The month of Ramadan has finished. Eid has come in by looking at the moon. Similarly, many other times, testimony is required. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, if you see a person, if you are called to give a testimony, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in the hadith, if you are called to give a testimony, then never deny it. Always go. So if someone calls me, can you come and give a testimony? You were there, what did you see? We should not deny it, we should go. Because going so, this is insaf, this is haq. You go and you say the truth, what you saw. But if a person is trying to save their friend, save their family member, and then they lie, And they take a qasam in the name of Allah Ta'ala, and they lie just because, you know, I'm afraid that my family member is going to fall into trouble. I'm afraid that my friend is going to fall into trouble, and they need to keep this hadith in front of them. That this is one of the most major of all of the sins, giving a false testimony. If someone calls on us to ask us, what did you see? What did you hear? We only speak the truth. We do not even lie at all, fearing Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then the next hadith, inshallah, narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiyallahu anhuma, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who mentions, Al-kabairu al-ishraku billahi wa'uququ al-walidaini wa qatlu al-nafsi wal-yaminu al-ghamus. Again, this hadith mentions that the kabair, the major sins, are al-ishraku billah, associating partners with Allah, is repeated in this hadith. Wa'uququ al-walidain, disobeying your parents, repeated in this hadith. Wa qatlu al-nafs, murder. This is the third of the major sins mentioned in this hadith. وَالْيَمِينُ الْغَمُوسِ, again, a false oath. يَمِينُ الْغَمُوسِ, remember, yameen means qasam, an oath that a person takes. And there are different types of yameen. The most common one is a يَمِينُ الْمُنْعَقِدَ, when a person says, وَاللَّهِ, you know, I swear by Allah Ta'ala, I will do something. So this is a yameen. This is a promise. If a person does not fulfill that promise, then the kafara is mentioned in the Quran, that they need to fast for 3 days, etc. The kafara is mentioned if you break your promise. Yaminul ghamus is a promise a person takes but is absolutely false. For example, I take a promise, or I take a qasam in the name of Allah, that something happened, but I know it didn't happen that way, just to convince people in front of me that it happened that way. And we see children doing this all the time. You know, they do something wrong, and then to convince the person in front of them that they were right. We see children all the time, wallahi, they all learn this, wallahi. You know, qasam, I swear by Allah. And then they will lie. They know they're lying, but they will lie to convince the person in front of them. Something really petty. So I always have to tell the students, look, get rid of this habit. You wanna, okay, even if you lie, but don't take the name of Allah Ta'ala into your lie, because it makes that lie 100 times worse. It makes that lie 100 times worse. Obviously, lying is a major sin in and of itself, but to take the name of Allah Ta'ala into your lie makes it 100 times worse. Don't take the name of Allah. And I give the example of myself. I say, look, I never ever say wallahi. You know, people sometimes, even in speeches, you know, in bayans, to emphasize a point, they say, wallahi, this is something. Wallahi, this is something. I don't even say that. You'll never hear me saying that. Just because I'm so careful when I say wallahi. Like, at home, my wife knows that, you know, never ever do that, take that qasam. Only once or twice in our whole marriage, I think I've said wallahi, to emphasize that something happened the way she's not understood it, because my wife, mashallah. So then I've mentioned wallahi. Otherwise, I don't say it, because the only time I will mention it, and then before I mention it, I will say, look, I'm going to say wallahi now. Just to give like a warning that, look, this is not something normal. So this is the name of Allah Ta'ala. We cannot treat it like a joke. You know, whenever you want to, you say wallahi. You know, I swear by Allah, qasam. So yaminul ghamus is when a person purposefully, on purpose, takes the name of Allah Ta'ala falsely, and takes a qasam falsely. This is also from the major sins. They will get guna for this. They will not have to give the kafara for breaking a promise, but they will get major guna for this, major sins. We should avoid it. We should just avoid taking qasam. What's the point? Our people, some of us, you know, qasme. What's the fayda in this? What's the point in this? If you are a truthful person, if you are an honest person, the person in front of you will believe you anyway. You don't have to say qasme 50 times, right? And if you're a liar, the person is not going to believe you whether you say qasme 100 times. So either become a truthful person or establish your accreditations as a liar. I will do one more hadith, inshallah. The next hadith is mentioned by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiyallahu anhu, who mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, min al-kabair, from the major sins, shatmu rajuli walidayhi, is for a man to swear at his parents. From the major sins is for a person to swear at their parents. قالوا يا رسول الله وهل يشتم الرجل والديه. The Sahaba asked, ya Rasulullah, is it possible for a person to swear at their parents? Look at the Sahaba. Doesn't matter what our parents do, we can never even imagine swearing at our parents. Forget swearing, just even ignoring them, or just even speaking disrespectfully to them. How can we imagine swearing at our parents? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, this is how they were. They said, ya Rasulullah, is it even possible for a person to swear at their parents? If the Sahaba were alive today, they would see how this takes place. The Sahaba could not comprehend this. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, نعم, yes, it's possible for a person to swear at his parents. How? يَسُبُّ أَبَى الرَّجُلِ فَيَسُبُّ أَبَاهُ. He swears at the father of someone else. فَيَسُبُّ أَبَاهُ. So in response, that person swears back at his father. Can you swear at someone else's? आपने किसी और के वालदेन के बारे में कुछ बुरा भला कह दिया तो वापस में वो मुड़ के आपकी तरफ देख के आपके वालदेन के बारे में कुछ कह देगा. This is the way it works. That's why even in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Don't swear at people who follow another religion or the gods of people who follow another religion that your God is like this and your God is like this and you're deluded and you're deceived. Because they will turn around and who will they swear at? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They will swear at your God. So Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, don't swear at the gods of other people because they will turn around and swear at your gods. So in this hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying the same thing. If you swear at the parents of other people, don't be surprised. Don't get angry when he turns around and swears back at your father or swears back at your mother because you're the one who instigated it. And guess what? You're going to get the sin of swearing at your parents. Because you became the wasila, you became the cause. If you did not swear at his parents, he wouldn't have sworn at your parents. For he's only swearing at your parents because you were the one who instigated him. From this hadith, ulama mentioned, look, even to become a wasila for a sin to take place, become a means for a sin to take place, the person who becomes the means gets the same guna. And they give simple examples, like, look, someone who sells grape juice to a person, knowing that that person is going to go and convert that into alcohol. He knows that. But he sells it and his intention is, his excuse is, I've only sold him grape juice. Nothing wrong with doing that. But you know fully well, 100%, that person, his whole livelihood is based around converting that grape juice into alcohol. You will get the sin for selling alcohol. Meaning, if you know for sure that a guna will take place and you become a cause of it, you will also get the sin of that guna. Sometimes brothers ask me, I work in a certain profession where sometimes I have to, like I work advertising, or maybe I make posters or something like this. So sometimes I have to advertise for a company which is not fully 100% halal. So I say, look, if your business is just advertising and then you're selling to everybody, is okay. But if you are just selling to people who you know will use that for haram, then you will get the sin of the haram. So become a cause of haram being committed means that you will also receive this full share of the sin itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand these ahadith and to practice upon these ahadith. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.